Welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook and I'm your host. And I'm your host who forgot to mute his mic during the song at the intro. So you might have heard me going and psyching myself up because I am nothing if not a diva. Is that not right, Chris White?
You are a diva, sir.
Hey, man, that rhymed. Is that not right,
Chris White.
It's gone wrong, really.
No,
early
it's
on.
Not gone wrong. But the fans love it. They love the camaraderie, mistakes and all that.
Well, man, you talk about the fans. What about the only fans? Because we've only got one bloody Mick Fraser here.
Oh, yes.
He's pixelated and everything. It's a... Mate.
Do not click on my OnlyFans.
Listen, before we get started...
I've completely lost you.
Oh, okay. Well, just hang fire. We'll be back, I'm sure. If in the words of Shirley Bassey, if I look a mess... Wow. It's because I am a mess, my dear. Okay, so just to be clear on that, we got some games to talk about today because E3's happened, and for some reason, as if it wasn't enough to put like Ratchet and Clank out right before E3, this week, Scarlet Nexus is here, Mario Golf, Super Rush is here, Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance is here. I know a man who's played two of those three games, and it's Chris White. It is.
And that's I'm really sorry. I had a burp. And I had to get it out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that was a bit delayed. Yes, I have played two of the three games.
It's going to be that kind of podcast this week, I think.
It will, yeah.
I think, but yeah, go with it.
Just okay. Well, where are we going first? Where do you fancy travelling down?
I think the only fans want to know about Scarlet Nexus myself.
Scarlet Nexus, eh? Well, for saying I'd... Before I was asked about previewing it, I'd not actually heard about it. A couple of months ago, and like I previewed it, played 3 hours in the first 3 hours, and was like, "Yeah, this combat is excellent." Now I've played the full game. It is absolutely my game of the year at the minute. As
wow!
It sounds.
Wait, whoa! What about Mr. It Takes Two?
Nah, this is it. I'm sorry, no.
Seriously,
look, from start to finish. I adored playing it. Like the gameplay is out of this world. And it kind of, we saw a lot of the combat in those 3 hours, didn't we? Like we saw
enough.
Quite a lot. Triple that throughout.
Right.
You get given so many more things to do. And it's never kind of arbitrary. Like it all makes sense. It's not complex to kind of do. So it's one of the problems I had when writing the review was talking about some of the stuff that opens up later, but it's kind of important to do so because you can't really limit yourself to talking about certain elements and not the rest. So there'll be no story spoilers or anything like that, but like some of the combat things that open up later, like you know that you've got that SAS thing, which is basically you're connected to your other party members, not just the three you choose to have, or the two you choose to have at any one time, but all seven, all the other seven. So whilst you can switch between like three other powers at any one time, you later get given the option to switch between all seven. So you can you can literally do anything. So you can teleport towards an enemy. So if they've got like a wall of water, you could teleport into them to attack them, and then you can switch to electrokinesis and then like zap them, and then you can turn hypervelocity on, run around the back of them, turn on pyrokinesis and flame them, or whatever. You've got like a power that makes your kind of skin turn to like not stone, but like it makes it impossible for anyone to do damage to you. You've got the ability to use the other character, the other protagonist's psychokinesis, which allows you to kind of link that together and like do more damage that way. You can literally switch them out just like that, as Tommy Cooper says. Like that alone is amazing. And then you kind of get these other like mini abilities within that. One's called Combo Vision. And by holding like the L1 button in, this is on PlayStation, you can get one of the other party members, whoever, it doesn't have to be like anyone specifically, but you can press L1 and then a button prompt, a square, circle, cross or triangle, and they'll come in and do a move that way. You've got another ability that when you build up enough attacks. You can press triangle and circle together, and that'll bring them in for longer, and they'll do like a special move. So you've got that as well. Then you've got the brain field, which is like the coolest thing about it. And like, it is in our review video. It might be on screen, I'm not sure, but like, it's by pressing the two analog sticks together, you kind of enter this weird neon parallel universe for like a certain amount of time, where you end up being like super powerful. And you like, there are times in the game, especially towards the end, where it's like ridiculously like tough. There's like these really high powered enemies, and you can enter this kind of field and just throw, like, use your psychokinesis to pick up like 10 items at the same time and just launch them on top of them. Or you could use the powers to kind of like smash them with them and use it as like an extension of your weapon. And then there's everything else. Like, it's I can't go through it all, but what I will say is that it's so seamless, the combat is. And when you've kind of mastered all these different abilities, like, that last kind of third of the game is it's just amazing. Like, I've not had a game quite like that. And while we look at games like Nier and Astral Chain, which are like superb at what they do, like Platinum Games are fantastic. But I enjoyed this combat more, definitely more than Nier. And I've not played enough of Astral Chain, but from what I've seen, it's definitely like up there. I mean, it's incredible. Like, that alone is enough for people to play this. And then you've got everything else. Like, the visuals, the visuals are ridiculously good. Like, not just the kind of aesthetics of the world, like the 90s Japan, it's the kind of the monsters, or the others are what they're called. They look incredible. There's some really bizarre, weird designs. And then you've got all the different elements and stuff, like the kind of the neon parallel universe, and it's just flipping amazing. And like, the story as well, like, it's towards the end, it gets a bit mental, but it is like an anime, and a lot of animes. Yeah,
they're making an anime, aren't they? They're literally making
work. Because it's amazing that this hasn't been taken from something. Like, it's a completely original idea, which is fantastic. Especially when the guys who worked on it are from like Super Mario Brothers, and they've not really done a lot else. Like, they've come into this and they've made this fantastic game. But yeah, everything, like, the characters are great. You really kind of feel a bond to them, and there are ways to kind of build that friendship up throughout. But it's just a magnificent action RPG. Like, there's nothing really that I disliked.
It's got major style to it as well, hasn't it? Like, even like the cutscenes, like, the people are seeing it now, like the stylized nature of the cutscenes is just like,
that's the thing. You get a lot of games that don't do this very well.
It's kind of persona-y.
Especially with like Persona, the kind of bits where you talk is more or less like you just see them on screen, and then.
Yes.
Like the visual novel style, they'll pop up with some dialogue and that's it. Whereas this, it's kind of mixing it all together. Like, it doesn't just stick with one panel, it moves to another, and then it flips it around, and then it implements like a cutscene. Mm. And it's really, really stylish. Like, it never kind of rests on its laurels. It always tries to change it and mix it up and make it different, because it is a long game, and it is a heavy narrative throughout. I mean, like, so
that's something I was surprised at early on, is that after playing the demo, I kind of actually thought, oh, the demo is just the start of the game. Well, it sort of is and isn't. It is like a slice of the game, but it's out of sequence, and there's a lot. Like, there is a lot to this game. Like, I think most people who played the demo will realize, like, when you first start, like, the telekinesis stuff. But Mick, you played the demo, didn't you? Or did you not get around to it?
No, I did. I installed it and never got around to it.
When you're playing essentially a third-person action game like that, and then they add in... Because I always go to PsyOps, but the thing is, PsyOps was not a fast-moving game. It was fairly standard speed, whereas this is... You are hauling ass around the whole thing, and then you have to... But it makes the telekinesis part of the combo, I feel. Like the whole, I didn't get it with the demo, and now I do. Like the idea is that you do a bit of a combo, and then you swing like a car at, you know, you launch a car at someone. And the idea is, when you launch the car, your character actually physically kind of jumps back a bit. And it's also serves two purposes. One is that visually it makes sense that they get out the way of the car, but they sort of jump back for you to then hit the button combo that makes you then get back in among the action and start smashing them up again. And you can sort of reset, because you can only do certain things once per combo, but like then it starts to add moves on top, Chris, doesn't it? Like, and it's like,
well, yeah, well, like you're saying, just with simply like,
that's just the combat, throwing
a truck at someone, you've got your kind of skill tree, which is called the brain map, and you can essentially press R, like you can build that up so you don't just throw one car and then you attack. You throw one car, and as the other car gets thrown, you press R2 again, and you can build that up until the very last one, which is like four or five, this mini animation starts, and then you do this more powerful throw.
I haven't seen that stuff. That sounds amazing.
And then you've got like the L2, which does the special attack.
That is
which
amazing.
Is essentially, you are throwing something at someone, but you're using the analogs to determine how powerful it is and what direction you're throwing.
Oh, that does actually, because I wasn't sure at first.
It changes loads.
Yeah, like sometimes it shocks. It's like the quick time events. But, I mean, one of the things is a lot of, like you said, like the brain map is a skill tree. One thing I'd say it's guilty of, but it isn't a bad thing, is that there's a lot of systems here that, as people who've played games for like, you know, 30 to 40 years each, I know what they are, but they're called something else here. Like the skill tree is a brain map. It's a skill tree. It's a skill tree that when you level up, you get, I think it's called brain points, isn't it? Rather than like points, still points.
Yeah.
And you put them in, you have to spend, say, two of them to get this skill on the skill tree, or three of them and progressively increase. You know, and it's all stuff I understand. You just have to kind of recontextualize it because they have created this universe for everything to be different in.
Everything's something to do with the brain. There's brain messages. The collectibles,
like, you'll be able to tell me this. So the things that aren't the green things, the things that are like weird glitchy map things.
Yes.
I haven't done it, but you just sell them, right? They're just things to sell?
So you...
Oh. Oh, dear.
Okay. Well, yeah, to be fair, I never tried to sell them.
It doesn't seem like the shop's of much.
The shop's amazing.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Again, I'm only like 3 hours in. I kind of played it twice.
You pick up like gold or money or whatever the currency's called.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Throughout.
Yes.
And you can buy like certain things, like certain items of, like, you can put on different characters. So like different headbands or visors or masks or whatever.
Yeah,
that cost quite a lot of money. That's like 3,000. And throughout the kind of at least the first half, you're not earning anywhere near that. So by finding all these things within the environment, so they're like, it's basically data that you're collecting, these shiny collectibles. And what you do is you take them into the shop, and there's like a tab for exchanging them. And you can go and exchange them for those items that you would spend a lot of money on. So it's worth collecting them all. Like if there's an icon on the map, go and get it, because it'll give you more of these collectibles to then go and exchange on weapons, clothes, like plugins for your, like, to give you like a constant buff to like your armor or your health.
That's another thing I didn't see in the demo that I've seen in the final version, where, like you say, like, you can plugins, which I guess are the equivalent of, I mean, I'm trying to think of a game that's got like what the standard name is, but like you say, it's like you can. There's a skill you can unlock that lets you have a second plugin, and I think a third one.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like you say, it's buffs. It's like, you know, plus 5% experience for, you know, it's, and I don't know what the standard nature of that is, but yeah.
No, but I get what you say. You can then like buy something from the shop or exchange something from the shop to give your party members an additional plugin. So there's so much, and like in terms of the party itself, like there are Bond episodes. After every level, you kind of go back to your hideout. Yes. And when you're there, you can go and chat to your friends and take part in these Bond episodes, which builds up skills specifically for you and that person. So say you're building a bond with Sheedon, who is like the guy with electrokinesis. You can, depending if you've built the bond level up enough, you could use his power for much longer, or you can activate his combo vision move, which I was talking about.
Yeah.
So there's just like, there's so much that way. I've just noticed, sorry, a question in the comments.
I was going to get to that.
Hey, Phil.
Before we do, I just, because I'll forget, I will forget. I found it very funny. Obviously, when the way we work, Sometimes Mick does voiceover for reviews. Sometimes I do the voiceover. And it really amused me watching Mick did this one. He specifically asked how you say Yuito and...
Kasane.
Kasane, right? And then when I watched the video... So, Mick, you got one name wrong, right? And it really tickled me which name it was. Because it begins with a G. And it's... You would never... Yeah, it's Gemma. No, that's what made me laugh so much. It's Gemma. It's Gemma, and it's a man.
Oh, well.
And that was so funny.
There's a Karen as well, isn't there?
Yes, there is a Karen. It's Karen. Yeah. Karen. But it made me laugh so hard when I was listening to the. Well, watching
Well, I saw the name Gemma, and I thought.
Of course you would. Yeah, of course you would. I thought, of course you would.
But then I thought, I'm in it now.
You've seen the review script and you've gone, right, how do I say Yuito? How do I say Kasane?
Yeah.
I'm fine with Gemma. Gemma's a pretty star.
Yeah,
name.
I thought Gemma's an easy word. She must be a good character.
He for a star. And it's, Gemma. Yeah. And I thought it really tickled me. And I can't wait for the comments because it's just like full names. You would never, ever go back to someone and go, just to check before I do the script, how do you say that name?
No, exactly. I wouldn't even have thought of that one. Yeah. Oh, even she then gave me pause. I thought, is that Shiden?
Not Gemma.
Yeah. Gemma.
But Chris says Karen. Gemma. There is a Karen, but it's Karen. And that's a man, isn't it, I think, if I recall.
Yeah.
But we should. Sorry, Phil Tendall's question. He says, evening all, regarding Scarlet Nexus, do the environments change much other than the generic future industrial corridors? The combat special moves were great, but the demo felt a bit repetitious to him.
Yes, they absolutely do.
I mean, I saw a bit in the video that was definitely very different.
I mean, you look at the video, you'll see there's other stuff which I don't want to, because the bit in the video is like it's like a castle almost. It reminds me of Bowser's, you know, in Super Mario Odyssey. It reminds me of Bowser's
the castle at the end. And all that.
Then there's like some super neon environments at the end which are amazing. Cool. But yeah, there's a lot of variation.
There is variation.
Definitely so. Yeah.
No, cool. I mean, I suspect we'll probably continue to talk about this because I'm going to try and find time. It's one of those awkward ones for me where it came at the wrong time, where I was like, we'll talk about Mario Golf and some other stuff that we talk about later. That it came at the wrong time, and then my PlayStation 5. We had loads of power cuts. And after the second day of power cuts in the whole street, it killed the PS5 and I had to factory reset it. And I didn't have cloud saves or hadn't uploaded that save. I think I'd actually paused mid-game. And so it hadn't shut down to then upload the save. And so I had to start again. And you can button through quite a lot of the cutscenes quickly. But the thing is, because I had planned on, I was originally going to do the video review, I'd actually capture the intro for the male character and the female one because I wrote that guide. And during one of those power cuts, I was capturing and an hour and a half of footage died because I was going to use the screenshots from it to make the guide for how you get your pre-order stuff. So it was just an absolute shocker of a time for me. But we should move on. And I haven't got any footage to show anyone this, right? Yourself, Chris, and Mick, very excited for this game, which I'm going to just make sure I get the name right, of Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance, right? Now, Chris, you're a big D&D fan. Mick, this is a game that should, in theory, be up your street, and being the co-op man as well, for me, I feel it should be for me. Chris, break my heart.
It's had such mixed reviews, hasn't it?
It sounds like a game that requires friends.
Absolutely requires friends. Absolutely.
And patches from the sound of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad game by any means. No. I just want to get that out there. I enjoyed playing it, but a lot of fun will come with playing with friends and using, because there's four main characters and it's
Sorry, Chris, can I ask a silly question before you get into it? Because I've been following it, but then the thing is, when it was announced, it's Game Pass. It's like, oh, I don't need to follow it because I'll play it. It's Game Pass. What can you describe what kind of game this is for people? Like, because you hear Dungeons and Dragons and you think, you know, it's tabletop games. But
all action, so it's kind of like.
It looks like Godfall.
Is it a third-person Diablo? Like,
it kind of reminds me. Yeah, but it throw in a bit of Pud. Which is the one comparison that I thought of straight away, but that's more in terms of it's not as polished as like Diablo or even Outriders. Like all these games, like especially Outriders and Diablo, are like superb at what they do, like the kind of loot as well. Now, this doesn't look amazing, but the core concept is great, as I say, when you've got all the people playing, because they're very different, the characters are. Like, Drist Doerden is like...
Thank God we're not doing like a video of this one, because I'm not saying those names written down.
It's like a...
I used to read R.A. Salvatore.
Yeah, okay, man. Well, then, yeah, that's fine. Then we've got
the Icewind Dale trilogy. But,
Is that related then? Is that all...
Well, R.A. Salvatore, who we're talking about, he wrote The Crystal Shard, which is like one of the oldest... The people who used to deal with D&D, they never wrote lore for it. All the lore that comes from Dungeons & Dragons is in like the books, the source books, which are like the rules and the adventures that they published themselves.
So what's Baldur's Gate then? Because Baldur's Gate was a Dark Alliance game.
It's a place in Faerun, which is like the main settings for Dungeons & Dragons. So
that was a game called Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance. Wasn't there another Dark Alliance game?
There was Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, the top-down one that they re-released a little while ago. Yeah.
And is that in any way...
That's not got the same characters. That was just...
But is it all... It's
like a spin-off of Baldur's Gate.
I know I'm not... It sounds like I'm
They just
I'm doing
used
a bit
the name,
here.
Really, for that.
Okay. No. I know it sounds like a bit. I'm not taking the piss. I genuinely don't know.
Massive.
If you're on the outside, it is quite confusing in a way, because there was a Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance a while ago. Obviously, then you had... Baldur's Gate, which everyone knows is quite a famous thing, and they had Icewind Dale,
I've heard of them.
Yeah, it's all interconnected, but the original Dark Alliance game from whatever it was 15 years ago, they just re-released. That was kind of just a spin-off where they used the name to make a Diablo clone.
So is this game? It's called Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance, but is it? That's just a name. Like the game is Chris, is the characters you know of them though. You know of the characters.
I know of them because they were created by the R.A. Salvatore, who they're based on his characters from the novel,
right?
His D&D novel, which was never considered lore. They never would take on any lore outside of their little bubble until he wrote The Crystal Shard.
Okay,
and then they saw how popular it became, and now Wizards of the Coast, who them taken over like a couple of decades ago,
How do you know these things?
Because I know, because I watched.
I'm kind of impressed. Like, no, you always impress me, Christopher. Mm-hmm. Obviously, always. But like, I'm sat here, kind of like, fuck, this is encyclopedic level of knowledge. This is
Drist is like their main. He sort of became their main character. Drist, like, he's like a ridiculous fan favorite character compared to even the other characters in sort of the Crystal Shard trilogy. Drist's got spin-off trilogies. Hasn't Drist had his own game before? I think Drist was playable in the original, that Dark Alliance game. I'm sure he was a playable character in that, I remember rightly. But Drist is like... I think, if you read up on it, I think Drist was created just to be a sidekick on the spot.
Yeah.
Like, R.A. Salvatore had written... he'd written a story with like Wulfgar and Bruinor, and they said the main character is really Wulfgar, and like, he's quite a straight character and he's not got a great deal of personality, really. And I think the editor, there's a story about how the editor said, you need someone to play off him because there's not enough here. So he said, right, and then he just created this dark elf rogue character. Well, not rogue, this renegade, I guess, dark elf character. And he's got a fucking magic panther that he carries in a statue, and it's just the coolest...
Which is
the coolest character anyone can create. Well.
Really?
Yeah,
it sounds a bit, what Mick was just... I should just say we got a comment here. Phil Tindall says both Chris's are on next level of nerddom. But now Mick's getting in on it as well, and I really feel like
I don't talk about it.
You've never mentioned this ever to me. And it's really kind of like, oh, what is this? Some kind of intervention where I'm being booted out? Because if Chris was here as well, I'd be just fucked.
Tell you what, if we had all the time in the world and we didn't have jobs or a life, I would play campaigns with you guys because it'd be the most fun.
I'm not against it.
But it's just planning the time. No. I'd love to do it because I think it'd be amazing.
Because you can do them online, can't you, and stuff like
that. Yeah, you could do them quite easily.
But yeah, it's something I've always... Maybe admired is the wrong word. We should talk about the game again. Sorry. I'm just fascinated by this stuff.
So they've got a rich kind of history to kind of take inspiration from.
Apparently so.
It follows these characters, and you get to be one of the four characters now.
Right.
Wulfgar and Brunor, who Mick mentioned. Wulfgar's like a barbarian.
Okay.
Brunor's like a dwarf. Right. And then Catti Bree, which is Brunor's adopted daughter, is like a ranger. She's got a bow. Okay. So Wulfgar, barbarian, close up, big boy, strong.
I'm hearing the hood things. When you said the bow, I'm like, oh, I see where you're going now.
Yeah. Brunor is like, he's got a battle hammer, which is his last name, funny enough, or his clan name. He's got this attack where he can kind of sweep it around and do damage kind of groups, whereas Wolfgar's quite kind of linear. And that's where one of the biggest issues with it comes from, which I'll get to in a sec. But then Drist is like your quick assassin, like a rogue, and he can get around enemies fast. And then Catti Bree is perfect for long range, because she, whilst all of them do have long range abilities, they're piss poor, if I'm honest.
Okay, so her even the bow actual... one?
Yeah.
Really?
See, I saw some videos where people were just basically cheesing it, because a lot of the enemy AI doesn't know how to deal with a purely ranged character. So when people are solo in the game with like Catti Bree, a lot of the enemy AI isn't able to, it doesn't follow you. So yeah, you back up like, to a certain point.
It's really simple.
And people were saying it's like when you've got a group and everyone's in there hacking, yeah, you don't notice. But when you're sort of on your own and you're the bow, you're Catti Bree and you're firing arrows, and then you back off and the monster stops following you, turns around and wanders off, and you carry on shooting it again.
Yeah.
So I've seen a couple of videos where they're struggling with the AI a little bit. Probably will get patched and fixed.
But... Yeah, yeah.
But no, you're right. It does do that. It's quite
a shame.
It's quite simple in terms of like it's like those old games where you'd know how far away to get from them to then turn back around and walk.
Yeah.
But like the thing I was talking about, the kind of linear attack from Wulfgar, it does happen with them all, but when you get a combo game with him, he kind of lashes out and kind of moves forward. And if you're not locked onto an enemy, you're just doing that.
Oh,
no one. So it not only does it look stupid, not when you're in, no, because it's kind of quite slow process.
Okay.
And then when you do lock on, the camera kind of lowers and you kind of, you're not looking up at the enemy, but it's kind of, it takes away the focus from everywhere else. So if you are playing solo, then you have got that problem of not knowing where everyone else is. And there are like markers and you can see where enemies are coming from, but it kind of really kind of zooms in a bit and it's a bit weird. Whereas if you've got people playing with you, it's not as much of a problem because you can kind of trust them to attack anyone near you. But again, it's the communication. That's why it's better playing with friends, like with stuff like Outriders we played together and like The Division. It's always better with friends because you could talk through it, what you want to do.
Mm.
Whereas like I didn't play with friends because it was early days. It wasn't out. So I had to play with like not weirdos, but like...
Presumably other journalists.
Some people just... Random. Yeah, some people just don't get games like this. No. They just would rather solo it in multiplayer. But anyway, so it's quite sluggish as well. Like the combat, especially for Wulfgar, I just didn't like it. But like you do get things on top of the standard light and heavy attacks. You've got kind of ultimates, which are great. Like I was talking, you get Drist's Panthers to kind of attack enemies. And like Wolfgar's got this kind of fire attack. And then you've got moves mapped to the X and the Y on the Xbox, which does damage. You can also buy new moves in the hub area, and like when you go out into a mission with on your own or with friends, you can choose a difficulty level, and obviously the higher the difficulty, the more loot you'll get, which a lot of games like this do that. And then if you collect all the loot from the one set, you get a more powerful set with buffs, a lot like other loot shooters. But you can't switch gear out in mission. So yeah, when you're in an act and you get there's not an option. So you kind of have to go back to the hub.
So if you find better gear, can't equip it. You have to either quit or finish.
Yeah, you have to go back to the hub area where the reward chest is. Well, then you can go and switch it out and whatnot. And then you've got, like, you can use the crystals, which upgrade weapons and all that. There's like, there's nothing new. It's not, it doesn't feel like a new game.
No, but if it's and fun, it, like, doesn't, I'm not, but it, I'm not
it,
one that's
it
like,
is
you know,
fun, but it's kind of somewhere between Hood and Warhammer Vermintide for me.
Okay. That's
and I think it will be better with
fair
friends.
Old.
Well, it is, because it's kind of, it's got that slow and methodical combat of Hood, which, but it still feels a little empty. But then it's kind of got the fun kind of grind of Warhammer, which is quite just constant. And you're rewarded for not resting as well. Like, there's certain bonfires will appear.
Oh.
And if you don't rest, the next kind of area will have better loot. So there's like a risk and reward bit to it.
Yeah.
So there's kind of a lot to it, but it's just not grabbed me like I hoped it would.
Let me ask you a question then.
Yeah, go.
I've got it downloaded. Yeah. I think Mick has too, and I'm sure everyone else can get it downloaded. Would you be up for playing some more of it? And that's not me putting you on the spot here. Like,
hands down, I would.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
I'll be able to play with other people.
That's what I mean.
Not on my own. And I don't want to play with strangers because
it's
not worth it. Because if you get people that don't really care about dynamics within the group, then they'll just go off and, you know, so it's better with a team because at the end of the day, they're four friends as characters. It makes sense to have that between real players as well.
Yeah, I mean, my heart's not been broken.
It didn't give me... I enjoyed it, but it didn't give me a rush.
Yeah.
It's one of those that I'm glad that was Game Pass. Like, I'm glad that it's... Do you know what I mean? Like, I haven't got to go and spend money on it and then find out that it's not brilliant. It's a good Game Pass choice, that one.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these multiplayer games are, you know, and I think while I suspect it will be a much higher quality, I think Back 4 Blood will hugely benefit from the Game Passing. And in the same way that Outriders did, and I enjoyed that a whole lot. So, you know, it's
well, Back 4 Blood, I mean, I played the Back 4 Blood demo.
Oh, God,
the alpha or beta or whatever it is when they first announced it.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and that is just... I mean, it's just Left 4 Dead. There's no two ways about it.
I think they're allowed to. They made Left 4 Dead. I think they... Yeah.
And they know what they're doing. But that comes through. So I can't wait for that game. Because just playing that little bit, which they've got some really cool elements added into that. And I think I don't think it's going to surprise anyone.
No.
But like the card system and the crows and things like that that they've put into, like the little features and mechanics that they've added to the formula they already had. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Not to go off on a tangent. But...
No. I've been thinking about that game a lot because I think like one thing E3 had was a lot of that kind of game. Like even that new, we mentioned it last week, like even that new Arcane game is one of those games that, you know, they're definitely de rigueur, as a friend of ours would say. I should talk about Mario Golf, I suppose, shouldn't I?
Talk about it.
Shall I get the stuff I don't like out of the way? So it sounds like I'm hugely negative. Yeah. So I do think there's an element where this game is going to follow the same path as Mario Tennis, which is to say that Mario Tennis Aces, when it launched, was a really good game, but it became a really, really good game. This feels very similar in that, like, See, Mario Tennis Aces had a really fun campaign that, although it was frustrating, like, it was quite funny in spots as well. Like, it was kind of, like, a bit risque, you know, it kind of pushed the boundaries a little bit of what you expect from a Mario game in the way that Paper Mario's and stuff does. You know, it kind of uses not bad language, but it just pushes the envelope a little bit. This doesn't at all, like, at all. Like, I never found any part of it, like, tried to be funny. Or if it tried to be funny, it went straight over my head somehow. The adventure mode's just a tutorial, I think, and I'm trying to think how long it was, but it was over 6 hours. You know, it was a decent length for a golf. You know, what is essentially a golf games campaign.
I mean, to be fair, like I'm not that bothered about that. All I want is to know, because like everybody's golf, for instance, I don't play anymore, but when it was like, I was like 600 hours with my wife playing that. Yeah. Like we loved it, but that's because the mechanics were great and there was enough to do outside of the, well, it didn't even have an adventure mode.
No.
So what is that here.
It's very similar. Like that's the closest golf game I can think to that I would compare it to. I didn't in the review, if I'm honest with you, but it did occur to me. It's just weird because the mechanically, I think this game's terrific fun. The multiplayer is going to be a riot with you guys. It's going to be so much fun playing speed golf and battle golf and all that. It's just going to be great.
Yeah, the battle golf looks amazing.
Battle golf's good fun. The cross-country golf, at first I was like, I hate this. But then after I realised I was playing it completely wrong. So cross-country golf is essentially like you'll start off on a big golf course and there will be, let's say, 9 pins that you have to hit. Wherever you land, you play from. So you might be on like the third course, but if you suddenly decide, shit, actually, hang on, the fifth pin's just up there and I can chip the ball up, you can do that. You can attack those 9 pins in any way you want. It's down to your time and the amount of shots you take overall. Mm. And like the one I was playing when it first introduces it is like there's loads of tornadoes spinning around. I do have some footage of it. In fact, there you go. That's perfect. That is exactly it. I didn't realise at first, I maybe missed something. You can hit the ball into the tornadoes and it will lift them up and push them forward. It just lifts them up. It doesn't affect your shot in any negative way. It just lifts them up. Because at that point in the game, what was confusing me is I had no way of doing a chip shot, right? And there's like it literally just before this cutaway there was there's like a rock face. And I'm like, I can't get up there. Because I didn't have the chip shot. You have to use the tornadoes. You have to use the tornadoes to get your ball up and across. So I failed that one a lot until I realised what I was doing wrong. And then once I got it right, it's, you know, it's pretty
simple stuff.
Is this
from the adventure mode?
This is, but it's one of the... Actually, I don't know if this one's in multiplayer now, I think about
like,
it.
You're playing as you're me. I take it you don't have to. Or do you...
In this section of the game, I did have to play as my
Yes,
me.
Right, okay.
You don't have to. No, there is a range.
I need a
makeover
because I haven't changed my Mii character. Mine
wasn't there. My son's was on my Switch, but mine wasn't there. I don't know.
Oh, really?
I did have a Switch.
I really hate the Miis.
This is the thing. It's playing as your Mii that I think makes it
it's
feel a bit
soulless
budget.
Little things.
Yeah, budgety. It makes that's it like feel Miitopia budget. Looks cheap to me.
Exactly that. Yeah. Because you're playing as this character that in the Mario universe here. That does not in any way look curated content. Once you start playing as the characters, like Waluigi, you know, and all that, and like King Bobom, and they've all got their own unique, not stats as much. So the Super Dash is important, and you level yours up, and the Super Shot and all this. But, like, so Yoshi, for example, goes really quick with his run. He's really quick, but he's got crap control. Whereas, like, you know, Donkey Kong can absolutely launch the ball from a drive. But he's not quick. It's just so weird, the campaign. Like, it was... I'm going to admit this. I must have missed the tutorial message, but I had finished the game and seen credits, and I was like, I've been earning coins. What the fuck do I do with the coins? And I thought, I'm just going to go and look around the world. In every part of the world, in every golf course you go to, there's a pro shop. Never saw it. And then it's like, Oh, that's why you can change, you know, and it's lucky I did this before I wrote the review, because otherwise I think I'd have been a bit confused and sounded stupid. But you can buy new clubs, you can buy clothes. So there's, like, I think, is it Wario or Waluigi? One of their special shots, when it lands, it creates lightning. And if you're in the lightning and you take a shot in the lightning, you get zapped, so it messes up your shot. But you can buy clothes that are lightning resistant. Or there's like some courses where you have to, like desert courses where you have to keep your fluids up because it's so hot. Some extend the life of your water. Stuff like this. So there's a lot built into it. Like you can be running around on a course and, you know, the idea is it's speed golf, but you've spied that Mick has gone over that part. You know, like, you know, when courses veer off into a V, he's gone there, you're gone left, but there's a Bob-omb on the field and I could quickly shoot that, quickly golf swing that over and smash Mick in the face. And delay him because he'd be right. And then I could even get, you know. So there are elements to that.
Does it work right though? Does that does all that stuff synergize properly?
Yes,
very
well.
Wondering if it was.
No. There's the idea that this game's reason for living is the speed golf. This is why they've made this game. They've thought of the speed golf idea and gone, that's great. And it is superb fun. As the wolf screams in the background. It's superb fun, the speed golf. And to be honest with you, playing the normal modes is pretty fun in and of itself. Like just playing golf. Do you know what I mean? just playing normal golf, because this thing, most of this game does something that you don't expect. Like most golf games, you play your shot and your shot lands, and you can fast forward it if you want, and then the camera just cuts and I'm on the next shot now, and I'll play the next shot. This game, as you're seeing on screen, does have that mode, but this mode is speed golf. So you have to physically run to your ball, which again adds an element of strategy. Like you can pick up hearts to increase your stamina on the way through. You can knock your opponent over with your super dash. But the idea is because you know you've got to run to your ball, that, like with the cross-country golf, changes what you think, because you think, hang on, I can knock that ball up high. But shit, I can't get to it very easily. It's a long way for me. I've got to run all the way around it. So I have to also think about how I get to my ball. So there are... I think this is going to be so much fun online with you guys. Like, it is... playing the multiplayer offline is great fun. What I liked about it as well is that... Because I would probably... My me was, like, over level 60 by the time I finished with him.
Jesus.
And he's pretty much... Like, you see on the screen again, there's... There's two bars, and that each one of them you can put like up to three levels of spin on. And if you increase your swerve ability, you can get to three, and I think four. I found two was fine. A lot of the Mario characters start off with one, just one bar. So if you want to swing it left, fine. But you then can't curve it back the other way because there's no other bar to do that in. So you can curve it a little bit left, a little bit right. But with your Mii, you can go all the way, fade it all the way, and then draw it all the way back to swerve around trees and stuff. But you can upgrade the Mario characters. You just have to play as them, and you have to play as them quite a lot. And you can only play as them in not campaign, so to speak. So it's going to take a while. I think I can understand why people would score this lower than I did. I gave it an 8. But I just found mechanically, it's one of those golf games. It's not like PGA Tour where you have to use the sticks to, you know, down and up and be precise about it. It's not one of those.
I love PGA though.
No, I'm not. I'm not against it. But I miss sports games being a bit more arcadey.
Yeah.
You know, where you can just press A. Like if you don't want to upgrade your character, and this is the thing about these courses, you can get through most of the earlier stuff or the easier courses just by pressing A to make your bar go up. A again, or is it B actually on Switch? You know what I mean. You know the button I mean, the action button. Press it. A, press that one to go up. Press it again for your power. And most of the, you will get through a course. You're not going to get eagles or hole in ones, but you will get through a course. Makes it, and also you've got the motion controls, which I'm always going to play buttons. I'm afraid. I get it. It works well, but I'm always going to play buttons. It's just a fun video game. I couldn't go any higher. Because it just has this... Like, the campaign's weird, man. Like I say, halfway through it, and I'm going, why can't I do a lob shot? And then it's because you haven't done the lob shot tutorial, which is halfway through. And it's like they actually give you... Like, I won't spoil it, but they give you... There's more than that. There's more to it than just pressing a button and doing a lob. There's more to it. And then Wario and Waluigi come into the story, and then it just goes bonkers. Like there's a couple of boss fights, and the thing is, it goes bonkers, but it goes bonkers in a way it's like... I absolutely like where you've shot for, but mechanically this is a golf game. Yeah. And it's a golf game, which means these boss fights are kind of just all right because it's a golf game. Like you run to a spot, you hit a golf ball. You know, you run to avoid something, you maybe time something, and then you hit a golf shot. And they're nice diversions from the monotony, if you will, of just playing golf, if that's monotonous to you, which isn't to me. I just it's just a really nice, fun game, and I can't wait to do some speed golf and see. It's going to be mental. It's going to be crazy doing that sort of stuff.
How many characters are there?
Oh, good question.
Are we talking like the main ones, or we've got like Monty Mole and
no
Shy Guy?
Is Shy Guy in it? No, I don't think he is. That's another thing I liked. I'm glad you mentioned that. Is one of the things I really liked is, so for example, Boo is a ghost. He hasn't got feet. So I don't think I've got any footage of it, but when he's doing golf, like you can see here Rosalina, because her dash lets she floats, you can get across water easier, whereas some of them don't do it.
Yeah.
Like you've got Charging Chuck's in it. So that's, I mean, you know, it's not like pulling from left field, but it's
no.
Not, you know, you've got Mario, Luigi, Waluigi, Wario, Bowser Jr.
Kamek?
I don't think so, actually. But what I will say is there is absolutely 100% obvious spaces on the character select.
Oh, wicked.
And they are 100% cool, bringing them in. And I
felt they didn't really do that with
Not as much as they could. They did a few to start with, and then they just kind of stopped. But apparently they're doing
Zelda
that.
Get Zelda in there.
Well, that's possible.
Well, Link, sorry.
Yeah, well, either. That's the weird thing, right? So there isn't, like, I think Kamek. I don't think Dry Bones. But there is Pauline from Odyssey. So you've got Pauline, Rosalina, Daisy, and Peach.
Cool.
King Bob-omb's in it. Donkey Kong. Yeah, there's definite space for there, and apparently they're going to be making new courses as well, which you're not going to need for a little while, but I think eventually you do need.
No, that's good. They need that support. They don't get do that a lot with
sports
games or racing games.
But no, I do get the feeling that 100. Yeah, I get the 100% feeling that this will have stuff added to it.
No, that's good.
I don't mean like day one, but I suspect reasonably quickly. I like it a lot. I think I don't know what people would expect, if you know what I mean. It's kind of it's Mario Golf.
Yeah.
In the same way that Mario Tennis is Mario Tennis.
But how much fun did we have playing tennis?
Exactly that. Like this, I think if you boot this up and just played through the story mode, right, you may well go, but that was all right, and I enjoyed the golf part, but that was a bit sort of felt a bit unfinished. But then when you take it and start playing it with people offline and online, and you start doing that, and I think that's suddenly when, like with Mario Tennis, it comes to life. And it's the online mode where it shines, as they say. Let's get to some listener correspondence. We've got a couple of questions, and I forgot to mention this in the chat, but so by all means get your questions in now. We've got a couple of questions from Steve Chambers original. Mick, let's go to you for this one because you haven't. Well, there's nothing you can talk about this week, games wise, embargoes, etc. What are you hoping to see from a post E3 Sony conference? Now, just before we go, the suggestion is that Sony are going to be doing a state of play in around about a week and a half from here as we record this. I don't know if that's true. None of us know if that's true, but that's been the rumours. There's a lot going on with that Blue Box stuff that people are sort of I think slowly linking in. What do you, if assuming hypothetically there is a post E3 Sony thing, what do you want? What are you hoping from it?
I think the boring stuff that everyone's kind of hoping to see. I want to see a Ragnarok gameplay trailer or something like that.
I said hoping, not dreaming of.
Yeah, well, I mean that's it though. I mean because I know Sony have got. I mean I've seen quite a lot of Kena. Is it Kena? Is that how you pronounce
Kena,
it? Of, you
know, actually, I've played it and I can't remember.
Yeah. And I don't know what to expect fully from that, but I've seen it. You know, I know what's coming. I'm really looking forward to it. But I think you've got like Forbidden West and you've got God of War. We know they're on the horizon. We know they're coming.
Oh, nicely done.
Horizon.
Actually, very well done.
it was completely and utterly accidental.
No, I could tell by your face that you didn't even have done it, so it's fine.
But I think I just kind of... it's a little bit boring because I kind of just want to see that stuff because Sony, that's what Sony do best.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they're going to drop anything that we don't know is coming. You know, they're not going to go... I mean, I don't care about Death Stranding, especially additional director's cut. I like Death Stranding. I know you didn't, Adam, particularly. But I
Why
really
do
like
people
Death
say
Stranding.
That? I did.
Did you
I
really shit on it?
Like
it?
I did like the game. I just didn't love it. Like, I did like it. I finished it, and I didn't have to. I can't have hated it that much. I'm not the guy who's like, no, I'm going to finish this so I can properly be a shitbag about this game to everyone. I did finish it. It was all right. I just didn't like the story.
I really like Death Stranding. And... But I don't care that they're doing a director's cut because I'm not going to play that game all the way through again with extra bits. And I, you know, what Days Gone is dead. And I think, you know,
I
think if they drop a Ghost of Tsushima 2 surprise announcement, then I'll drop dead. But I don't
but
think
they are making
that.
They are making that, but they're not going to announce
it. Oh, sure. But they're not going to announce that before they've got Horizon and God of War out of the way and stuff, I think. So to be honest, I don't think Sony need to do a comp.
Do you think they will?
Not sure. If anyone needs to, I think they may keep the hype train going. But I don't think
put it to you this way.
There's
going to
be anything.
Why
there
would they bother?
That's what I mean.
You can't get a PS5, and if you do, they're sold out instantly. The games they've put to £70, everyone moans about it and is still buying them. Like,
They've got nothing to show everybody. There's nothing. I don't think there's anything for Sony to go, but we know what's coming. We've seen it. And unless they're going to show, unless they're going to say, here's gameplay of Ragnarok, it's out in November, surprise, no one cares.
I think there's space for one more game this year. I think Horizon makes it. I think there's space on the roster for one more PlayStation exclusive. I don't know what it is.
What?
And well, I don't know.
Are they going to? Is Bloodborne 2? Are these rumors? Is this going to come out? This Velvet Veil thing I've been reading about.
Well, there's rumors of Bloodborne PS5, which I mean, it feels like an inevitability, but also I'm still not convinced. This Blue Box stuff is fascinating. This Blue Box stuff is fascinating because it's either a developer who's been very silly and unlucky. Because the thing that I keep coming back to is at some point, coincidence, there's just too many of them. And like even yesterday as we record, they put the bloke Hassan put a video out saying, look, I'm Hassan, I'm real. And then they put another video out of an outsourcing studio. And that outsourcing studio is the same one that worked on Death Stranding. And it's like, look, either you're like a big fan secretly and are trying to kind of emulate your hero by using the companies he uses, or you're playing a real dangerous game of how long can we get away with this? Or it is Kojima. Like I think so too. I think so too, but I don't want to say it too much.
I kind of hope it is now for their sake.
I fucking do too.
Because
for all
the internet
sakes
will turn on them like fucking rabid dogs. Yeah.
But that would be the sort of thing, because you've got to say the hype levels, the kind of conspiratorial nature of that has swirled to the point where if they were to say, do a state of play in the next couple of weeks, timing would work out. But we shouldn't pour it anymore, because if it is just some unlucky guy who's been a bit daft, I don't want to be responsible for sending any more hate his way.
Yeah.
Chris, PS5, well, Sony.
I'm like Mick, the only thing I want is a release date for Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting anything else big this year, but big. Like we're not going to get God of War. We're not going to get anything else like that. We're not going to get a new Spider-Man announcement, go to Tsushima. There's no more Days Gone. We know Horizon is close. So give me a release date and I'll be happy.
I think that's what, if they do a conference, it's going to be just to give us a release date. I mean, it's going to be hyped up and they're going to go.
I don't think they can do another one this soon.
Unless they've really got something up their sleeve. Unless they've got a Bloodborne sequel.
No,
or
I don't think so, personally.
PC, PS5 announcement.
Mate, let's face it.
I can't seem to do a big conference to go, here's that game again.
Let's face it though, if FromSoft are making Bloodborne 2, the way they've gone with Elden Ring, it'll be 2023 at least.
Yeah, because if Elden Ring gets out in January, I'll eat my hat. This hat here,
oh, yeah,
I'll eat live.
I don't believe it will either. I think for me, there's a couple of things I've got sort of an idle curiosity in. When's the Last of Us TV show due to come out? Is that this year?
I doubt it.
I think it's next year, isn't it?
Next year, because there was rumours of The Last of Us being remade, and I can't think of a better time to release that than when the TV show's airing. But that's not this year, then, if that's the case.
There's normally something, either a set photo or
they
some
have,
information.
They've shown... Yeah, they've shown Pedro Pascal with like a...
Oh, I'm thinking of Uncharted. They've shown set
photos of
Uncharted.
Oh, God, I keep forgetting about Pedro. That's just
magic,
isn't it?
They've shown screenshots of Uncharted.
Oh, I forgot he's in it.
And
but
Pedro
Pascal is Joel. I know.
Ellie's...
Mormont.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I was trying to... Hopefully someone else knew her name, because I hate to... Yeah. But yeah. But that's not this year. I don't know. They've said that there's like 20 plus new games in development, so you'd maybe think they could show a couple of them and that would make a big deal.
Well, then I don't want them to do a...
They've got some other stuff, haven't they?
Coming out 2022.
No, I don't need that.
23. I don't want to know what's coming out 3 years' time.
Yeah, hold off on that.
Yeah, no point.
Well, we haven't really answered the question very well, so let's just answer Steve's other question and we'll just keep this one nice and short and nice and simple. Chris, hash browns, mash, fries, or... Pringles, for some reason, isn't it?
Hash browns.
Okay.
Crispy hash brown.
Ooh, now you're talking. Mick, you're just going to say all of them, aren't you?
What were the options?
Hash brown,
hash
mash,
browns, fries.
Mash or Pringles?
Mash. No, I'm not a mash man. Out of those, okay, we'll do fries. I don't have mash. I have roasters. If I ever...
but they're not on the list. Dinner. Like, hey, listen, roasties aren't on the list. If they were on the list, then... And he's left them off because he knows, I think. I mean, it's a stupid thing. You can't
he knows, obviously, yeah. I mean, I out of that list, I'd just go with fries, plain old fries.
See, it's a question for me. I like hash browns. Are they plain old Canada, fries?
They put hash browns in like a, it's like a spaghetti maker thing. Because I went, because I got married in Canada and I ordered an English breakfast, right?
Okay.
And so I was sitting in a cafe in Jasper and I said, I'll have this on the menu, English breakfast. It's bacon, sausages, waffles. It's English breakfast and hash brown. So, and it came out and everything was wrong because it wasn't an English breakfast. And the one thing I couldn't understand, I didn't even know what it was the hash browns. And what they'd done is they'd gotten like a potato and they'd put it through like a noodle shredder or a spaghetti maker or something like that. And it was just like strings of potatoes. And then they'd fried it and just put it on the plate.
Oh,
and
I know what you mean. There's a word for this. There's a name for that. Oh, God, I can't remember my wife, but no, she's not here. No, there is a name for what you've just described. It's not hash browns.
It was strange. It wasn't hash browns. I mean, for me, I do like hash browns.
For me on that list, it'd be mash, because, Chris, you might want to not listen to this bit, because it would be mash with, like, baked beans and, like, mix it all in.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, I'm just telling the truth, but it would be mash and baked beans in there. I have to say, on that list, I think Pringles might be the bottom one. And Adam's not here, so it's okay.
I can't eat Pringles with anything else. I'd eat those other things with, though. I mean, I wouldn't have Pringles and sausage, or, you know, I would.
I was going to say, wouldn't you? Because I wouldn't be against that at all.
Yeah. I mean, I would, but I would, it wouldn't though, be your first choice.
Think about party food. Pringle, sausage roll, Pringle, prawn vol au vent, Pringle. Another
but
prawn
if you
were
at a restaurant and they said, do you want chicken or beef? And you said chicken. And do you want mash or Pringles? You'd say, hang on a minute.
I'd question a few things, admittedly, in a restaurant if I was offered Pringles or my mail as my main. Unless it was like Heston Blumenthal's kitchen and they weren't there. They were like Pringles made from the son of, a poor man's elk or something. I don't know. Phil Tindall says he wants to see Sony announce PS5 expansion drives, sick of juggling space already, and I have a 940 megabyte download connection and it's still a pain in the hole. Totally forgot about that. Yeah, they've literally still haven't done that. They still haven't done that. That would be something to touch upon.
I don't think they will until more people actually own one.
I think that's why. There's rumours of overheating. Yeah. I'm not sure.
They've shown off two new colour controllers, and I'm just like,
yeah, but they do.
Yeah,
nice.
But I've seen people buying the pink one and the black one.
I could definitely make room for one of them, but I'm not going to because I have two PlayStation controllers. Two questions for the crew from Thomas K. Number one, will we ever get Labo 2? As Nintendo loves to experiment with things before making use of the parts that succeed, do you see any potential integration of some aspect of Labo in a main property?
Absolutely not.
No, afraid not.
That was just another classic Nintendo gimmick, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, it was shocking. No, it wasn't shocking.
It could have been
it
cool.
Was, yeah, but it was the software they released with it, which was just dull.
Well, it didn't...
Like, if they can't... If they want to implement it into actual games, like maybe that might work better. But
they did it with Mario Kart.
Yeah, but that was kind of it, wasn't it? The fishing rod would have been amazing.
I think there was another one. But
you don't, like, when you play Zelda, you don't want to get your flipping fishing rod
hang
out
on,
for
I'm just gonna,
a yeah. minute and then pack it all away. Like, the actual process of building was more fun than
the play.
Like,
yeah.
the robot thing was insane. Like,
yeah.
I was on that for about 6 hours.
And then
you play
it
and you're
6
minutes. Yeah, great.
The other pack that I've forgotten the name of that is buried under some stuff in my office, I would give it another go on a Switch Pro, because something that the problem with VR is, and I've, you know, as someone who's kind of tried everything in VR, is if it looks really bad in terms of fidelity and it runs very poorly, there's no immersion because you're like, this is a game and it's a bad game and it doesn't look very good. It needs to look better, and the Switch is not capable of looking any better than the Switch is capable of looking. Yeah. So if a Switch Pro came out, I'd give it another go, but I don't think Nintendo will, so it's irrelevant. Thomas K's second question, why aren't remote controls bright red or some neon colour? How many cumulative millions of years of people's lives have been lost looking for the damned remote control? Why are remote controls black or white?
I think that's an absolutely superb question. I would buy a neon remote control.
I bet they exist.
I don't know.
You're looking for a remote control?
No, I was looking for my phone to see if I could find one on Amazon.
I'm sure they exist, but I, yeah.
I'm sure you can buy remote controls with cowbells in them and flashing lights and all sorts of things. I'm sure you can buy them where you can click something and it beeps wherever it is and all sorts of
things. Oh, yeah, you stick with
If that doesn't exist,
then
it needs to exist. Yeah, it needs to exist.
No, a lot of smartphones have got apps, haven't they, for remotes on.
This is what I was going to say, right? So I've annoyed my wife because I had a soundbar in here and I had a... It was a better one, and I always wanted it in the lounge, so I swapped them around. And the thing is, we need to sort our lounge out, but basically the soundbar covers the sensor on the TV, so you can't just turn the TV off. And even if you, and it is linked to our Virgin remote, but again, you can't because there's no sensor for it. So I just put the, I think it's a Panasonic app on my phone, and I just like turn it off. But every night she gets up and has to move the soundbar and turn it off, and I just get the app. But it does feel like a really stupid problem.
I've done that thing before where I've left my Bluetooth linked to the speaker, and then I have a friend who likes to send me some really, really suspect shit. Uh-huh. And I mean,
me too.
And I've forgotten, you know, and I've been listening to music at some point, and then I've opened something I've been sent, and in the bedroom, like down the corridor. Oh, there just comes the sound of some poor woman getting railed by a goat or something or every Sunday.
Goat.
And it's just...
I will say, I'll agree with you, there's nothing worse than having a cheeky knock and wondering where the sound's gone, wandering back to the lounge and everyone going... Never happened, by the way. Always check before. Always check before that you're not airplane anywhere else.
You'll only ever make that mistake once.
I've never made that mistake, but I'll give you a pro tip. Always just check that the airplane is not airplaying anywhere that it shouldn't be. And on that note...
Don't accidentally broadcast that to your TV.
No. Imagine that. Family's round. I mean, why you'd be doing it when the family's round? But, you know, I don't know. You do you. But what? And then you walk back in the lounge. And they're like,
not when Gran's in the room. Yeah. Surely.
Well, where have you been? You were a while. Yeah, I went for a number two. You weren't long enough for one of them, were you? Never mind. Everyone's just looking at you. Yeah. That's it for this week. Thanks very much for tuning in. If you're live, we really appreciate you watching us live. If not, we appreciate you anyway, watching the archive version or listening to it.
A whole hour without ruining that, without lowering the tone. We nearly made it the end.
But when I saw an opportunity to use the phrase cheeky knock, there's no way it was getting it was going to be avoidable. Chris, sorry, Mick, thank you very much for being here. We really appreciate it. And to everybody else, we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.